Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined by Sharla in
Hi.
Japan.
Thanks for having me.
Where's Pete Dawson? What have you done with him?
Where's
he gone?
Where he is.
He's in the cupboard. I can hear him. No, I don't know. Pete's had a busy day, so we've called in reinforcements. It's been a while as well. He's in a cupboard somewhere in Essex. It's been a while since we've had you on the show.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Good. Yeah.
What's going on with you?
I'm in Aomori.
Well,
on a road trip.
Very nice.
With you.
That sounds good to me. Yeah, to be fair, I've abandoned Pete Dawson this week. I'm doing a road trip with Sharla. So I thought it'd be cool to interview Sharla, have a chat with her, and also just, you know, take a break from Pete Dawson. Even though...
poor old Pete.
He just come back from one holiday from the US, and I think he's going next week again.
To the US?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Why? He should
he
be coming...
He likes it that much.
He loves it that much. And of course, I'm going in December. That's now... It's awkward because it's announced this week that Ludwig, one of the biggest streamers in the world, he has doing a chess boxing tournament in Los Angeles in December. Now, I've kind of talked about it on and off on the podcast in kind of awkward ways because it wasn't formally announced. But now it's announced, I can actually say that on the, I think it's 10th or 11th, I should probably check that out. Do you remember what day it is?
No.
Excellent. I think it's December 10th/11th. I'll be in Los Angeles boxing and doing chess, a chess boxing tournament.
Why have you agreed to this?
Well, as you know, I had that really bad health report back in June.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wasn't really happy with myself the first half of this year. I did put on a lot of weight. I felt very unhealthy. And I just want to turn it around, really. So I set this ridiculous goal of the end of this year being the fittest that I've ever been, right? And when you set a target like that, the only way to make it happen is to really sort of throw yourself in the deep end and actually set some sort of challenges along the way.
To work towards.
Yeah, pretty much. So we had the cycle with Connor, the Spartan race, and then Ludwig messaged me out of the blue and said, look, Chris, I see you're trying to get fit. I'm doing this chess boxing tournament. Do you want to take part? And at first I was like, no, I don't want to take part. I'm
genuinely surprised you agreed to it.
Well, I think it was Connor, because he was like, oh, Ludwig said to me something along the lines of, Connor said you'll never do it, and I just picture Connor being like, you'll never do it, bro. I'll show that Connor guy.
So that's the real reason,
basically, just to show Connor. But no, I want to do it for myself, and I thought it through. I'm kind of somewhere between, I'm probably an intermediate player of chess, and I really need to up my game. I have been playing a lot
recently. I think you're pretty good.
I'm
played
okay.
You once.
Yeah, but you're
you
not.
Beat me.
Yeah, but you're like a beginner. That's not fair.
You seemed good.
I think the cat, Mare, could do a better job of knocking over the chess pieces than you. But so I've got to get my act together on the chess front. I've been trying to play every day for about an hour, but I've got to really ramp that up. And but of course, boxing is the main thing that I'm kind of worried about, because if that goes wrong,
no kidding,
it could be goodbye Abroad in Japan, goodbye Chris's nose. And I just
have you ever done any sports?
I did fencing.
Oh,
when I was younger.
That's unexpected.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Were
fencing.
You good at it?
I was okay. It wasn't that good.
That's a no.
In the UK, and like fencing is seen as this like sort of middle class, middle upper class rich kids thing, right?
Yeah.
So when I say I did fencing, people are like, oh, you must be very wealthy. I did it on like a council estate. In like a government subsidised fencing in a council estate in the UK that had the highest rates of teenage pregnancy in all of Western Europe. So that kind of crushes that assumption straight out of the blue. But I was all right at fencing. But actually with fencing, right, your foot movements, you have to you put your sort of right leg behind your left leg in a sort of awkward way and to be able to lunge forward. And I've actually found that to be a problem with boxing. I've kind of taken that stance with boxing. So I was training with Nick, Nicholas Pettas.
He's like, why are you standing
legend.
Like this?
Yeah, and he was like,
what are you doing?
Dude, what are you doing? Why are your legs screwed? And we realised it was because of fencing.
Oh, wow.
Even after 15 years, I still remember it enough. And so I've got to sort of I've got to kind of just forget about that and move on, right?
Yeah.
But I have started training. My main thing with boxing is just I need to get my fitness up because I've been sparring a little bit and it just knocks you the hell out. Not literally, hopefully, but like it really takes it out of you boxing.
You've got to be like 2 minutes boxing, 2 minutes chess. Right?
Yes, that's right. So, I mean, chess boxing in itself is a very unusual thing.
Yeah.
And I need to work out the tactics behind it, but it's basically speed chess.
Mm.
So you've got to play really fast. You're on a timer.
Hmm.
Every time you move, you hit a timer, right? And it adds like 10 seconds to the clock, I believe. So the idea is that the first person to get knocked out of chess or to run out of time loses, and the whole tournament is over. Or the first person to get knocked out or lose at boxing.
Huh.
So it's one of those awkward things where if I do really well at chess but bad at boxing, I lose. If I do really well at boxing but bad at chess, I lose. So I've got to be good at both in 2 months. How do I do it?
3 months.
Three months.
You got 3 months, I think. Yeah.
Easy. Easy, but I'm up for the challenge. And with these things, the frame of mind is, I want to win, but I'm going in, I'm going to do my best.
Mm.
It's not about necessarily winning.
Mm.
Even if I lose, I will come out of it fitter, stronger, hopefully a bit smarter, and certainly better at chess and boxing. And that's something that's kind of cool,
exactly.
Right? Yeah, and if it goes well, maybe I'll do something. I'll do a bit more boxing next year. We'll see. But
yeah, you did a lot better at the Spartan race than you were expecting.
So. I think I've surprised a lot of people, most of all myself, with the cycle, somehow doing it and doing the 700 kilometres and also the Spartan race 2 weeks ago. And I've got a few other challenges lined up coming in the next few weeks, which I'll talk about on the podcast, later on in the month. But there's a long road ahead. And then I'll be in LA for the first time. You've never been to LA, right?
No, never.
I'm in two minds about LA. Like, on the one hand, I have a lot of friends there. I love movies,
me
and it's too. The movie capital. But on the other hand, it looks a bit rough around the edges and a bit So
we're only there for a few days.
I just want to try In-N-Out Burger.
Right.
In-N-Out Burger. I want to try it. Anyway, story of the week, guys. What have we got this week? So we have a story here, and whoever wrote it didn't leave their name.
Oh.
So that's mysterious. And it begins. Have you guys ever had a Japanese person literally run in fear from you? I live in Okinawa, and my mum came to visit to help us with our second child recently. As I was out running errands, she decided it would be a good idea to take my two-year-old out for a stroll at night in a foreign country in a complicated neighbourhood. Now, Japan is safe, so I'm not too worried, but people do drive pretty crazily in Okinawa, so I was a little concerned. We didn't know where she could be because she didn't tell my wife upstairs that she was leaving. Oh dear, your mum is a daring woman indeed.
She just took the child and ran.
This is a bit worrying. We found her phone in the living room. She'd left it behind. That was concerning. I'm not sure how long they'd been gone either. I know she can't see well at night either, so it was all a bit worrying at the time. My dad and I hopped in the van and went looking. First, we checked all the stores nearby. No luck. We branched out and checked all the major roads. Still no luck. My wife started to freak out. She wants to call the cops, but I'm not at that point yet, so we keep on searching. I start asking people on the street if they've seen an old white lady with a toddler. We came across this 20-something-year-old girl taking pictures of one of the mouldy buildings by the side of the street. One of the mouldy buildings.
That's my biggest question about this story is that part.
Well, I know Okinawa, there's some decrepit buildings, but okay. I cruise up nice and slow so as not to alarm her. I roll down my window and I said I had a question. She looked at me with a, oh no, it's actually happening kind of way. And then she started stepping away. I go, "Chod, matter, please wait." And she turns and sprints down the street. I've never had anyone flee from me ever in my life. I realised it kind of hurts. My dad was laughing all the while. Anyway, we did call the cops in the end and found my mum and daughter at a 7-Eleven.
What a story.
What happened? Did you have a go at your mum? Like, what was going on there? And why did the woman run away? What do you think?
Well, that's happened to me once.
When did it happen to you?
A very long time ago. It was my second time visiting Japan, and I was staying with my friend, who was a high school girl at the time, and it was her grandpa that was scared of me. She introduced me to her grandpa, and he ran and hid in a corner of the garden outside, and he started crying, and I was like, what the hell's going on?
I feel the same way when I hang out with you, to be honest. Thanks. I run to the corner of the garden, I cry.
Her family was really awkward about it. They felt really bad, and they were apologizing, and they said that I was the first foreign person he'd ever seen in his life. We were in Kanagawa, so she didn't...
What?
No, sorry. What?
Kanagawa was like Tokyo.
Aichi.
Aichi. Okay, that's not Tokyo.
Yeah, so a little on the Inaka countryside.
Well, Aichi's sort of Nagoya, right?
But not Nagoya. It was
You're talking rural Nagoya.
Yeah,
okay.
It was like rural Aichi. It was the first foreign person he had ever seen. Ah. And he was terrified, like genuinely. But I stayed with her for a week and he avoided me for the first half. But then he started to warm up to me, and by the end of it, he really liked me.
Yeah.
And when I left, I think he cried because he was sad I was leaving.
Oh.
So it turned out all right in the end.
He had a full-blown narrative arc. I sound like a romantic, happy, feel-good film, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The foreign girl that scared the old man.
It was wild. I don't know what to think.
God.
So ever happened to you?
No. No.
It's not common.
No.
It's definitely not common.
I mean, yeah, I think I've probably had a few people back away awkwardly and not want to, and I think I was
but
lost.
But not run away in
fear. I think I was lost once in Yamagata somewhere, and I asked a woman, like, "Sumase," I was trying to ask her to stop so I could ask her a question.
Right.
And she went, no, see my son. And she sort of just kept bowing and backing away. So that's kind of similar to this story. She didn't physically run away like I was a madman. But she kind of had that sort of shy awkwardness, and you could tell she just didn't know what to do.
Like, I'm kind of surprised that happened in Okinawa, though, because Okinawa is full of foreigners, right?
Yeah, you think Okinawa of all places,
yeah,
that would be
it's really weird.
An issue. I did have some students like that as well. Students that would like just feel really uncomfortable around me and just not look at me, or I'd be like, "Oh, how's the," you know, when they're doing work in the classroom, I'd wander around, right? And I'd be like, "Oh, how's your work going?" And they just wouldn't look at me or like acknowledge that I was there. And that really pissed me off. I found that really annoying. But
jeez.
You know, Japan is a land of introverts. It's like the most introvert culture in the world, I think, personally.
That I've experienced anyways, yeah.
I can't think of any other cultures that are this sort of extreme in the sense that they want... You know, people want to keep the harmony. They want to keep it out of other people's way. As I've said before, you can walk around Tokyo for a fucking week and nobody will say anything to you. It's not that they're, you know, they don't want to talk to foreigners necessarily. It's just that people keep to themselves. They don't like unpredictability. They don't want the sort of spontaneity of speaking to someone. Go to Osaka and you'll speak to someone straight away on the first day. But certain cities in Japan, Tokyo and Tohoku, where we are now, people are a lot more sort of shy. So I'm not surprised that happened. But we got a story this week. And it's... I don't know if it ties into anything we just said. It probably does. But as you know, there's some, I mean, I don't even know how to get into this. I'll just read out the title. Japan's raincoat man arrested for stealing 360 women's raincoats, which he described to be as thrilling as stealing lingerie. What do you make of this, Charlotte?
It's a lot to unpack here. Well, stealing lingerie is very common in Japan.
Yes, it happened to a few of my colleagues in Yamagata.
Yeah, well, I think it's happened to every girl that I know.
Yeah.
It's something that you don't think about in Canada. And I don't know if that's just because we don't really hang our laundry outside that often, or if we did, I don't know if people would steal it. But here in Japan, we hang our laundry out on our balconies to dry most of the time. And if you hang out your bras and underwear, it's well known that they will most likely get stolen by somebody.
Yeah, I mean, there's you know, we've talked about this before, issues on trains, right?
Yeah.
People taking dodgy photos, sometimes getting a bit physical. How would, like, sexual harassment in Japan, is it more sort of, going back to what I was saying about being introverted, do you find it sort of more underhanded than sexual harassment back home?
What do you mean by underhanded?
Like people being sneaky about it, taking sneaky photos.
100%.
And stealing things and sort of, whereas in the UK, sexual
it's
harassment,
more
in my mind,
aggressive.
Yeah, is people sort of actually shouting at
for
girls,
sure.
wolf whistling,
yeah,
that sort
for
of
sure,
thing.
For
right?
sure. Yeah.
I don't know which is worse. They're both pretty fucked up as far as I'm concerned.
I don't think I can choose.
Yeah. It's top chunks of sexual harassment, twats everywhere. But in this case, this is just ridiculous. Basically, a man was arrested in Japan for stealing 360 women's raincoats, right? His name is Yoshio Yoda. I don't think I've ever heard of anyone called Yoda
no.
in Japan. It's pronounced like Yoda, right?
Yoda.
So it's not Yoda.
Yeah.
He's a 51-year-old newspaper delivery man from Osaka, and he likes to follow women on bicycles. And when they leave their bikes behind, he would go into the basket and steal their raincoats. this is just, oh God. So he'd follow them. He'd follow women he saw riding bicycles or look for bicycles in parking lots with attached additional child seats or frames with traditionally feminine colours under the logic that the riders were more likely to be women. He'd then check to see if the owner had left a raincoat in the basket, and if they had, he would take it and swipe it. In his own words, "I got as excited seeing women in raincoats as I did seeing women in lingerie." While this might at first seem to be connected to the dubious folk wisdom in Japan that the colour of a woman's umbrella matches the colour of her underwear, Yoda explained. Actually, Yoda, I keep picturing Yoda fucking... Yoda explained that it's the clinginess of the wet cupper that piques his peculiar interest. I don't know what the fuck that means. His modus operandi of taking unattended raincoats out of baskets would seem to indicate he was only able to steal them when the weather had cleared up after raining earlier in the day. But, you know, he started doing this in the year 2009.
Jesus.
The police believe that around 320 of these were taken during a span from December 2013 to May of this year, during which time investigators took to calling him the Raincoat Man.
How did they even catch him?
I don't know why.
Have they genuinely been like following this guy for 10 years now?
Some people chase mass murderers, others chase
this is such a waste
the Raincoat Man.
Time and resources.
But based on the average cost of a raincoat, these sort of cheap raincoats that people have over them in the rain here, 3,500 yen. About $25 per unit. So that's, you know, $7,800 of raincoats. Because they basically went into his home and just saw them there, a big pile of 360 raincoats.
360, that's ridiculous.
Why didn't he come up with an elaborate excuse? Like, why have you got 360 raincoats?
Well, they must have had some footage of him doing it or something. Otherwise, how did they know it was this man?
Yeah, this is the bit of the story that...
Yeah, like, how did they catch him? Why is that not mentioned?
That is a thrilling story, ripe for a Michael Mann film. Honestly, yeah, it's always out of Osaka. Why is it always Osaka? Like, I told you a minute ago, people are awesome in Osaka. They talk to you, they're extrovert, they're wacky, they're crazy. Most of Japan's comedians come from Osaka historically. Mm. People are just interesting there.
Yeah, clearly.
But is this interesting or is this just a bit creepy? You decide, guys. You decide. But it's a story that's sort of told in a... sort of with a degree of comedy, but I don't know quite how to... handle it, because it doesn't have the sort of the potency and creepiness of stealing underwear and lingerie.
Right, but he's
a thief.
Seems to equate the two. So
I just the idea, right? They found 360 raincoats.
Yeah.
That's 360 women who he potentially stalked out or whose bikes he broke into.
Yeah.
And that is kind of just pretty screwed up.
Yeah.
Put what's the Apple Air Tracker thing?
AirTag.
Get one of those in your raincoat. But that's the moral of the story. Get some air trackers. And
yeah, then what? Show up at this guy's house and try and get it back. AirTags. No thanks.
Why is my AirTag showing up in Osaka at Yoshio Yoda's house? Bloody hell! Honestly, what do you make of this thing? Any final comments?
I don't know what to say to that. I've had my underwear stolen.
Oh my! Really? When?
When I was living in a dorm in university.
In Japan.
I was on the third floor, which doesn't make any sense. So I would hang my laundry out on the balcony on the third floor. And then pairs of underwear would be missing.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know how they got them off without taking the whole hanger down.
One of those grabber sticks.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking with like the hand on
the
end.
Like the children, like where you have the handle, you squeeze. Yeah, it picks it up.
Yeah.
An extended one of those.
Very weird. I don't know. It happened several times.
That's quite
never caught
creepy.
The guy. Don't know.
You didn't think of setting up a camera?
Nah, probably should have.
Well, could it have been a neighbor who like?
It could have been. Like, it could have been the person next door to me, like reaching over.
Did you know your neighbors?
No. But it was all other students in the university, so that would be really weird. I don't know.
Let's not rule out any suspects. But you've never had your raincoat stolen from your bike.
I have not.
You've never been the victim of Raincoat Man.
Not honestly, yet.
Sounds like a Netflix documentary. Yoshio Yoda, he seemed like a nice guy at first, but he always seemed to be holding a raincoat. And every day it looked different. Netflix original. Honestly, I kind of want to do it. But there you go, Raincoat Man, another ridiculous story about a crime that makes little to no sense, that's both creepy, bizarre, and ridiculous. And now we'll turn our attention to the fax machine. What do we got this week in the fax machine? Stories, questions, comments, over to you, Sharla.
Hello, courteous Chris and Perky Pete.
Perky Pete.
Sounds wrong. The vibe that I'm starting to get from you guys is that Japanese citizens are happy to not have the tourists back. Is that the general consensus you guys are experiencing as foreigners? Has the attitude that Japanese people give towards you changed in general?
Hmm.
Cheers, Christina, from Melbourne in Australia.
So tourism is back on.
Yeah.
As of October 11th. Very exciting. Already have got quite a few friends and quite a few of you guys have said you're coming over, which
it
is awesome.
It feels surreal.
It feels surreal.
It's been so long.
It's been 2.5 years.
I was starting
years.
To worry it wouldn't happen, generally.
I was starting to worry it wasn't going to happen this year. And it feels kind of unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I just hope they don't bloody reverse it at the moment numbers go up.
Honestly.
It's very exciting and I can't wait to have like friends and family back here. Part of me is a bit like kind of sad, I guess. But I've been very lucky in this time to generally be travelling quite a lot. We've been lucky to go to Kyoto, and I was only in Kyoto 2 days ago, and it's without tourists. Yeah, on the one hand, it's sad, and the business is suffering there, but God, it's nice.
Yeah.
Every street...
I used to hate Kyoto.
Me too.
And now it's like one of my favourite places, but I will soon hate it again.
Yes.
But yeah, it's very lucky that we got to experience it.
What I will say to you guys listening, if you want to come to Japan, you want to experience places like Kyoto, while they're still kind of like this, try and come to Japan in the next 6 months, because I don't think numbers are going to bounce back to where they were for at least a year, probably more at this point. So
tickets are quite expensive. Plane tickets are a lot more expensive than they used to be. So yeah, that might deter a few people from coming.
Try and get here like in the next 6 months.
Really?
If
you don't think there's going to be a huge boom of people coming right away?
No, because
that would be my guess.
The main bulk of foreign tourists coming to Japan are mainland Chinese tourists, and mainland Chinese tourists can't travel at the moment.
Oh.
So far as I know, they can't leave China, right?
Oh,
because they're still sort of on lockdown there.
Oh, that makes sense,
And there's a few other countries in Asia that I think are similar.
So it'll be like a slow trickle.
Yeah, and there's a really big stigma in mainland China at the moment of travelling and passing around COVID.
Right.
So, I'm not saying Chinese tourists are bad. I'm saying they are a huge proportion, far bigger than, say, British tourists coming to Japan because of the proximity to the country and how close they are. I think, you know, you're still going to be able to have the hotels to yourselves and still going to go to restaurants, not have to queue and enjoy it. So if you come to Kyoto or Tokyo, in the next 6 months, you'll be able to reap the benefits of still sort of experiencing Japan while it's relatively quiet, I think.
As for Japanese people's thoughts on it, honestly, I feel like the average population here has no idea that tourists aren't allowed in. It's like they're completely clueless.
It's true, yeah.
It's really weird.
Outside of the hospitality sector, like, people don't really know. I remember talking to Natsuki and he didn't know.
People are shocked when you mention it. They're like, what? What do you mean?
People are sort of don't know, but then they also like, oh, we don't really want people back here either. People are a bit more, I don't know, wary, I think, of tourists coming back. Mm. Mainly because of COVID, right? They don't want COVID numbers to go up still. But I don't know. I think it can only be good for Japan to get tourists back as soon as possible, especially as we mentioned before, Kyoto is going bankrupt, amongst other things, because of the millions of tourists suddenly disappearing. So hopefully they can turn that around.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Robert says, hello, Chris and Pete. Is it common for people planning to travel from Japan to reach out to someone from the country they plan to visit? I've received a message from someone who's from Japan, and they were asking about my country in regards to tourism. Gradually, the conversation changed to my plans to visit Japan, and they seemed to be oddly insistent on giving me a tour of Tokyo upon my arrival. Is this just overly friendly hospitality, or should I be concerned about a possible scam? Thank you for your time, Robert. What do you think of that?
I wouldn't think it was a scam. No, Japanese people love showing foreigners around. If you go to like any touristy spot, chances are you're going to run into this random nice old guy that's going to want to show you around, probably speak some English. He's practiced and like waited for this chance to meet a foreigner to show around the castle. In general, people love doing that. So I would not be worried that it's a scam at all.
It just seemed the context of how this went down. Like, it seemed Robert just got like a Facebook message from someone.
Yeah, that's
like,
a little weird.
What's it like traveling to your country? And Robert went, it's good, isn't it? And then the person went, come to Japan, I'll show you around for $5,000. It is a bit
suspicious. A bit sketch, but like, honestly, I wouldn't be too suspicious. This is genuinely something that someone would do here, just an average person. Just, I can see it happening.
Just don't let them choose the venue. If they're like, oh, Robert, I know a great Wagyu steak restaurant where they do the finest Kobe beef. Wouldn't you like to come and pay for it all? No, I don't think it's a scam, Robert, but it is a bit suspicious. I'm not going to lie. Maybe do a bit more homework there on the person before you say yes. Hey, Chris and Pete. Ohio from Ohio. I want to know about your typical activities for Halloween in Japan. Are there certain events in Tokyo? Also, what was your best Halloween costume other than the fabled Candyman that you've talked about before? Best wishes and see you in Japan, hopefully, from Alex.
You had any other costumes?
No. And I've got a Halloween party in October.
He's the Candyman every year.
I'm just going to do it again. Because I haven't done it since something like 2015. So
it's time.
7 years have passed. I can deploy the Candyman costume for a third time. Halloween is a big deal in Japan. And we are doing a Halloween party on abroad Japan with in Roppongi.
Yeah. We are.
Sponsored by my friends Alex and Yasu, who run Black Ship Realty. So they're sponsoring it. I'm promoting it, and we're just going to have 150 people in a cool place in Roppongi.
Yeah.
Anyone can come. I've got to promote it soon. I'm really bad at promoting things.
You better get on it.
I barely promoted the London event, and it sold out in like 4 minutes, and I regret not doing more. But, you know, I'm new to the whole event thing, it'll be good though.
Yeah, Halloween's getting more popular in Japan. As time goes on, I've been here for 17, 18 years now. I feel like when I first came, people didn't even know what Halloween was.
Well, Pete Donaldson, he came over every year without fail to...
For Halloween.
For Halloween.
For Shibuya.
Yeah, in Shibuya.
The Shibuya celebrations.
Like, historically, Tokyo's pretty damn good in Halloween. People get out their full cosplay. Mm. They really go to town. And Shibuya used to be, like, this crazy, insane place. And Roppongi, right? On Halloween night, it was just mayhem. Everyone dressed up. Yeah. Everyone very drunk. It was a lot of fun. And then one year... I think 4 or 5 years ago, some drunk Japanese folks and foreign folks flipped a vehicle and knocked over a van in Shibuya.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then the police were like, right, no more drinking, no more fun ever again in Shibuya. And they banned drinking.
Really?
In Shibuya. And nobody gave a shit anyway. They just hid their drink in their coat, basically.
Is that still a thing? You're still not allowed to celebrate Halloween?
Yeah, you're allowed to celebrate it, but you're not allowed to drink outdoors in Shibuya on Halloween night.
Only on Halloween?
Yep.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
I've never tried. I've never wanted to.
But this was before. This is before COVID, so I don't know if they'll still be holding those rules in place. Mm. It was a bit of an overblown reaction as far as I'm concerned, but four or five idiots flipping over a van and ruining Halloween for millions of people, honestly. But no, it's a great time to visit Japan, so if you can come over and want to enjoy the country in October.
Yeah, it's a great time to visit, honestly.
It is, and like October's my favourite time of year in Japan as well.
So. Yeah, October, November.
Yeah.
The weather's perfect.
So if you can somehow find the time, come on over, Alex, and enjoy it. But for now, guys, Sharla and I are on a road trip in Aomori. It's going to be coming out on her channel. Where are we going on our road trip?
We are going to Garlic Land.
That doesn't sound like a real place. But I went there with Ryota in a video. If you want to see Garlic Land, it's a town called Tako.
Yeah.
Which taco with it's frighteningly devoid of tacos. It's a real shame.
No,
but the
tacos.
Garlic is good.
The garlic is very good.
I went there with Ryotaro for a video called Horse Meat in Japan because he made me go to this place that did horse meat in Aomori.
We went there
first. We're not going there. No.
We're going to Garlic Land. We're going to probably my favorite ryokan. One of my top three, anyways. Ryokan.
Nice.
And we're going to. It's called Fear Mountain. Osorezan. One of the top three sacred Buddhist mountains in Japan. That's kind of seen as afterlife, like the physical representation of what the afterlife is.
So you've never been there, right?
Never.
I've also been there. I've been everywhere in Aomori because Ryota and I did probably about 15 videos.
Lots of videos there.
I'd love Aomori, favourite place in Tohoku, yeah. Best prefecture of the six in Tohoku.
I've been to Mutsu, but I haven't been to Osore-san. I think I went for the tuna.
Mutsu's like 20 minutes from Osore-san.
Yeah,
that's
a
shame.
I don't know why I didn't stop by.
So we went to Osore-san, Ryota and I, for a video, and we filmed it, and it's a really cool, trippy place. It's in a caldera. So the temple's in this
like
caldera.
Tropical. The pictures I've seen.
It looks a bit. Yeah, it does. And it's got a lake, and it's surrounded by a wall of mountains in the shape of a lotus leaf, almost.
Wow.
So it does feel really trippy, and there's a lot of sulfur just steaming out of the ground because it is a caldera.
Yeah, yeah.
And it feels very sort of otherworldly. And I filmed the video there, and because it was sort of subsidized by the Aomori local government at the time. This is like 6 years ago. The temple weren't happy with how I depicted it in the video. Because I was like...
You commented on it smelling bad or something.
Well, I wasn't even in the temple. I was walking around the scenery and I was like, wow, it smells pretty bad here. And it smells like Ryota's car or something. And
they were offended.
The people were like, you've disrespected our temple. And I was like, no, I've made fun of the geological nature of this caldera.
Yeah.
I didn't walk in the temple and go, this is rubbish. But they made me not... They basically said I couldn't release that. So I couldn't release that segment of the video. Wow. I was really gutted.
You can say it in my video. Release it.
I'll get my revenge.
Get the word out. Smells like Ryotaro's car.
Smells like Ryotaro. And then we're also going to the rock formation.
Yeah, I hope we can make it there.
Hotokegaura. Which is this really trippy place.
Looks really cool.
In the same video, another video I did with Ryotaro called Japan's $2 million tuna.
Stop promoting your videos.
Watch all my videos. Watch my videos with Ryotaro. And if you haven't seen it, guys, the final episode of Journey Across Japan is finally out. Journey Across Japan Escape to Paradise, where I broke my ear. Ryotaro and Natsuki battled to the death, and Joey made me face my fears in the sky, parasailing nightmare.
It's quite a good video.
It was a fun trip. I regret my handling of Journey Across Japan Escape to Paradise, the way I constantly didn't have the time to edit it. I should have just used my editor that I hired rather than doing it myself. Idiot. I don't know. You know, I'm still a bit of a control freak. That's an understatement when it comes to editing. And while my editor, Dave, has done a fantastic job editing throughout this year, I decided I wanted to edit Journey Across Japan myself because it's a massive project and, you know... It's like 4 hours of footage per episode to go through.
Yeah.
I was like, don't worry, Dave, it's really a big, crazy video, but I know all the footage. I know the way to edit it. I know it will save a lot of time if I do it. It didn't save time because it meant...
It took 6 months.
It took 6 months or something ridiculous. First off in May, because I ruptured my eardrum. On this very video, I was in agony for like 4 weeks and I couldn't do
a whole lot. That took forever to heal.
Then we went to the UK. Then I did a Spartan race and a cycle and all this stuff. And it just... nightmare. So it is a shame. It is a shame that it lost a bit of momentum. But at the end of it all, as I've always said with videos, you know, people look back and they remember a video as it is, as it was, you know, and there's nothing worse than a rushed video.
Yeah, it turned out well in the end.
Even though it was a harsh series to do, like, you know, stressful as hell, I'll look back on it and I'll enjoy those videos, particularly the first one with everyone on the boat. That was kind of cool. And Spandau Ballet. Money well spent on that song. Money well spent. But for now, guys, check out that episode. Thank you, Sharla, for coming on.
Thank you.
I'm sure it's not the last we'll hear of ye. And sounds very ominous. And as always, guys, we'll be back later in the week to do all over again. But for now, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan podcast. Bye for now. Have a good one.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.